Shabbat Shalom, y'all. Last week, I talked to you from the perspective of a book that I was reading on the fact that science has discovered that God is really the only hypothesis that makes any sense. And I left you with three things to think about as you're going through this time between Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur. And I talked about meaning, morality, and appetite. And the idea is that humans need meaning, and morality comes from God. And in that process, you ought to learn to control your appetites, whatever they are, power, whatever. So what I want to talk to you about today is the meaning part of that a little bit. And I also want to talk to you about repentance. So, one of the things that I would ask you to think about is, how are we different from the world? In other words, what makes us different? If you look at the stories in the Bible, we had broken homes, we had murder, we had adultery, we had all those kinds of things among people who wound up being the heroes of the Bible. That sort of looks like the rest of the world. What makes us different? Why are we different? We've got all the problems that the world has, and some of the problems are because of our belief. In other words, we don't fit in some things, and that causes problems. And some of those are in spite of it. In other words, doesn't seem like things go remarkably better for us, although I think they do. So, what's different about us? Why are we doing this? Why are you sitting here today on a beautiful fall evening or afternoon instead of going out and playing soccer or whatever it is you do? And one of the things that I will suggest, you all know it, is that the world can be a dangerous and frightening place. If anybody who has been consuming news lately will recognize that you got the clowns in charge, and they're doing clowny stuff, and it's really getting kind of weird out there. So as you're going through this world, what I want you to think about is, A, why you're doing what you're doing, and what's your strategy for the journey? In other words, you start off like young Elijah over there, coming out of his mom and not knowing anything, and you wind up years and years and years later, and you'll go the way of all flesh. What's your strategy in between? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish? And given the fact that you're all here, you've got at least a start on a strategy, because you've decided that you're going to follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're going to try as best you can to walk in his ways, and that's a big part of the strategy that you've chosen. The problem with most of humanity right now, especially in the United States, is they don't have a sense of meaning. They don't have a real strategy for going through life that's based on their sense of meaning and why they're here. So in that case, the default position is satisfy any appetite that you've got and just do whatever feels good. In fact, you guys are all too young, but when I was a young man, one of the things that was going around is, if it feels good, do it. Okay? If it tastes good, eat it. In other words, give free rein to your appetites. And what God says and what the world, what most major religions say is that's really a lousy strategy. Okay? And what we're seeing in our society right now are the fruits of that strategy. Okay? And as I say, the world right now is run by unrestrained appetite. And that's not good. And the reason that it's run by unrestrained appetite is because they know of nothing higher. They know of nothing more important than their appetites. You say whether the appetite is for the belly or whether the appetite is for relationships or power or whatever it is, they know nothing higher than that. And so what we're seeing, as I say, in the world in general, in the United States in particular, is the fruits of 50 years of lack of meaning, lack of perspective, and unrestrained appetite. Okay? So, what we believe, or at least I believe, and I suspect you do too since you're sitting here, is that this journey we're on has a purpose and a destination. And if you believe that, then your actions will be dictated by your understanding of the purpose of the journey and what you're trying to get to, what your destination is. Because remember, if you have no sense of meaning, your destination is worm chow. And there's nothing higher than that. So might just as well satisfy all your appetites while you're going through it, because there's nothing afterwards. We don't believe that. And because we don't believe that, what we wind up doing is we wind up constraining our appetites, and we wind up pursuing meaning as we go through this life. So the purpose, I will suggest to you, as God has suggested to us in his book, is your purpose is sanctification. Which is to say, as you go through life, what you want to do is conduct your life so as to become as like Christ as we can on this side. And one of the things God has given us is case studies. So you've got a case study in the lives of the patriarchs, and you can see what they did that worked, and you can see what they did that didn't work. You've got case studies in the nation Israel. You can see how Israel goes along, and while they're doing well and are walking righteously, things go well, and then they veer off the rails, and God sends them a prophet and reels them back in or sends them into exile. Then you've got the example of Yeshua, and you've got the example of the apostles. Okay? All of those examples allow you then to study those lives and see what was different about those lives as opposed to the lives of everybody around them. And as you study that, what you can do is you can then develop for yourself a strategy to figure out how am I going to become as like some of those as I can. Now, you won't be the same because you're different, you're unique. So you're not going to be Yeshua, you're not going to be Paul, you're not going to be Peter, big mouth and all. Okay? Well, some of you might be, but the point I'm making is you're a unique individual. So as you read all of these heroes of the faith, you can say, I want to do that. I want to be like that. How do I get there? Okay? And this period right now between Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur is especially designed to cause you to back off, reflect, think about that, and develop a plan for how do I become more like whoever, Isaac, Abraham, Yeshua, Peter, Paul. Okay? And I will suggest to you that that process will infuse greater meaning into your life and will allow you to march forward more confidently in spite of all of the clownishness that is going on around you. Because it's really easy as you look at everything to get discouraged. It's really easy to say, nothing I do will make any difference, and the world seems to be going to hell in a handbasket, which it does, and I might just as well either withdraw, in other words, don't mess with any of them sinners, or join the parade. Those are two strategies, right? Join the parade and grab all you can, or withdraw and say, I'm not going to associate with any of them because they're going to hell and I'm not going to follow them. Okay? And both of those strategies, by the way, are errors. That isn't what you're called to do. Because what the Great Commission calls you to do is to go to all the nations and make disciples. It doesn't call you to withdraw to some place in Montana where there's nothing but you and the grizzly bears and the occasional passing salmon. Okay? You're supposed to be engaged, but you're also supposed to be paying attention to what this world is building in you and make sure that that process is leading toward the goal that you want. And God tells you what the goal is. He's very clear. Starts off in Deuteronomy. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Notice that you choose life, and in that process, you give life to your offspring. In other words, it's not just you. You are simply a link in a long chain. And so your choices are important to you because it's getting you toward the goal that you're shooting for, which is life. But it's also designed to bring your offspring, your family, and it's also designed to bring those around you along with you. So that's the goal and the process of what we're going through right now. Now, let's say this 10-day period is specifically designed to give you an opportunity and a direction, if you will, to focus on that process. So now, let's talk about repentance. Why are we talking about repentance right now? Well, because we're coming up on Yom Kippur, okay, which is the Day of Atonement. Now, every one of you here is here because you either have or want a closer relationship with God. Relationships are difficult. Ask anybody who has a family. Okay? They're very difficult. In fact, there are whole industries in our society helping people to straighten out screwed up relationships. Big business. Well, your relationships can get sideways with those around you, with your family, but they can also get sideways with God. And it's interesting, I was watching Aleph Beta last night at my dear wife's suggestion, and I'd seen it before, but it was good to refresh. Do you know that there is no word in the Torah for repentance? It's not in the Torah. In fact, the word doesn't show up until we get to the New Testament. That's interesting. Because we're talking about a relationship. So I have a relationship with you, I have a relationship with God, and if that relationship gets crosswise, it would not be appropriate for God to command me to repent. What God says is, if you want to repair the relationship, there's a process. Okay? But you have to want to repair the relationship. You have to make the decision, I want to restore and repair this relationship with my brother, with my sister, with God, with whomever. You got to make that decision. So he can't command you to make that decision. Once you do make that decision, he tells you how to do it, though, which is very good. All right, so Rabbi Foreman is talking about Maimonides, there we go, I will be able to say that man's name. And he talks about the process of repentance as listed by Maimonides. And there are four parts to it, only one of which is scriptural. Okay? The other three parts are not scriptural at all. They are rabbinic, but they're very wise. So I will commend them to you and suggest that as you go about your repentance process, that you use these steps. So the first step is to let go of the sin. Whatever, and this is now in terms of God. It can also be in terms of a relationship with somebody else. So if you have gotten crosswise with somebody else, stop doing whatever it is that got you crosswise. In the case of God, where you've sinned, stop it. Okay, that's thing one. Quit. Don't do it anymore. And, oh, by the way, don't dwell on it. In other words, if the sin that you have against God has to do with one of your appetites, which is not proper, and we all have improper appetites, every single swing in one of us. So if that what is the sin that you've committed, first you've got to stop doing it. But the second thing you need to stop doing is dwelling on it. Got to quit thinking about it. So Yeshua, for example, when he's saying, if you look at a woman with lust, that you've already committed adultery, that's a hyperbole. But what he's saying is, if you look at a woman, in this case of a man, although not necessarily anymore, but if you look at a woman with lust in your eyes, what happens is you start to dwell on it. You start to think about it. You start to fantasize. You start to keep this in your mind. And then when the physical opportunity occurs, that last step is a mere formality, because you've already taken every step up until the final physical act, and so you're spring-loaded in the adulterous position. So in the case of repentance, then, the first thing to do is stop, and the second thing to do is quit dwelling on it. Okay? Then the next thing you do is you commit not to do it again. You say, all right, and again, I'm talking about sin now, but it works in interpersonal relationships. You commit to yourself not to do it again. And then finally, you regret the fact that you did it. Now, Rabbi Foreman very nicely said, what you're doing is you are distancing yourself from your sin, past, present, and future. Present, you quit doing it. Future, you say, I'm not going to do it anymore. And then past, you regret doing it. So you basically have distanced yourself from that behavior, what it is, entirely. Past, present, and future. That's rabbinic. That is not scripture. It is very wise. And I will suggest that as you go about repenting of your sins, you do it in that order. Because, as I say, it's very good. Now, the last part of that is the scriptural part. This is commanded, and that is you confess out loud with your mouth to the one that you have offended. Okay? If it's God that you have offended, you speak and say, I have offended you, I have sinned, I have done this wrong, I am sorry, I'm not going to do it again. That's confession. If you have offended your brother or your sister, you go and you say, I have wronged you in this, and I am sorry. I apologize. Please forgive me. That's the scriptural part, okay? And confession goes clear back to the Torah. In fact, it says when Israel is in exile because of their sins, if they confess and turn to me, then we begin the process of restoration. So the confession part is scripture. Okay? Now, it's interesting, and this is Rabbi Foreman, and he's a Hebrew speaker, and I'm not, so I'm going to take his word for it, that the word for confess is vidui, and it has the same roots as todah. Vidui means confession. Todah means thank you. They both come from the same Hebrew root. Now, why is that? Okay. Well, it turns out that the root is hodah, which means recognition. Okay? So what you are doing when you thank someone is you are recognizing that that person has done something nice for you. You are recognizing the relationship. And when, you know, we all have this internal set of scales in our little heads. And when somebody does something nice for you, it sort of puts a weight over here and you sort of feel kind of out of balance because you'd like to do something nice for in return. That's just normal human behavior. So what you do is, I can't do anything right now, but what I can do is I can acknowledge what you did for me. I can say, thank you. I appreciate that. So I'm recognizing what you have done, and that helps balance the scales. Okay? The same thing goes with sin. Vidui. I recognize that I have wronged you, and what I am doing now is I am coming to you and I am saying I have wronged you, and our relationship is out of balance because of what I did, either you and God or you and your friend. And I want to make it right. I want to recognize that I have wronged you. Okay? Same root word. So as you're going through this week and thinking about your relationships, your relationship with God and your relationship with people, think about that. Is there somebody, God or someone, that I have wronged? That I have gotten crosswise with? That is my fault? And if so, go make it right. Yeshua says in the Gospels, when you go to do a sacrifice and you recognize that you have, your brother has something against you, leave your sacrifice, go make it right with your brother, and then come back and do the sacrifice. Because then you come before God clean and the sacrifice means something. Whereas if you've got all of these broken relationships, it's very hard to come before God with clean hands. And you all know the psalm, who shall stand on the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. So as you're getting ready to come before God on Yom Kippur, do some introspection, figuring out what you need to do to keep that relationship maintained. Relationship with God and the relationship with those around you. And that's what repentance is relationship maintenance. And relationships do not maintain themselves. Okay? You have to keep working on them. Just like, you know, somebody gets baptized. Okay, baptized, done. Go off and do my thing now because I've been baptized and that's it. And no, you have to keep the relationship alive. It's the same with God. It's the same with people. So I would urge you, as you spend the rest of this week, to do some introspection, figure out what your strategy is for the journey, for however long your journey lasts from here. What's your strategy? And, oh, by the way, do I need to do any relationship maintenance as part of that strategy? Does that still make sense?